Hi, it's Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On. We are doing this on the fly today, and I have to ask my first question to the green girl of Green Girl Herbs. How do you pronounce your name?
Oh, it's Corinne.
Corinne, have we ever met?
I'm not sure.
Okay, so here's
I don't think so.
I'm a stalker. That's the fact.
That's a social media thing. And I think we kind of circle each other for a while and then we finally connect. I've had up with a few people.
Yeah. So you're saying Corinne.
Corinne. Yeah.
Gordonier.
That's correct. You got it.
There's an E at the end of Corinne and I just wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Green Girl Herbs. I've been following you. It's like, I don't know this girl. Do I know her? Is, you know, like, I just love everything you post. Are you from the Hudson Valley?
Actually, I grew up in Westchester, but we moved up here when I was, I was a teenager. I was in high school. So yeah, I'm from the Hudson Valley. Absolutely.
Because I didn't even know. I was like, does she even live around here? But I'm so grateful to know you. The things that you post resonate with me so much, and we're going to get into tea and herbs and all kinds of things. But I caught the other day you posted something to the effect of you were preparing for a shamanic plant class. I think I need to know more. Tell me everything.
Well, you know, it's interesting that I mean, some people get it, some people don't, but you know, everything has consciousness, you know, and if you come from that perspective, you know, for some people, I know that's kind of way out there. But that's a big part of the work that I do is just understanding that, you know, plants have consciousness. And if you look back to some of our early scientists, you know, Darwin even, you know, looked at plants and talked about how they had consciousness. They have decision-making capabilities, so going all the way back to Darwin, all the way up to more recent studies that have shown that plants are a lot more aware than we think that they are. Plant shamanism, it's basically working in a shamanic tradition and working with plant consciousness, in order to do all sorts of things.
Let me ask you this. You said that plants have decision-making capabilities. How? Like, in what situations do they say, I'm going to do this instead of that?
Well, so for instance, they certainly have drives, for instance, to find water. And that was one of the things that Darwin had specifically also spoken about as well, was as far as the root or the radical, their abilities, for instance, to find water and the way that they can navigate around objects, to find water. And, even if you go all the way back and you look at when our Earth formed, 4.5 billion years ago, and then, at the point where photosynthetic, our earliest, our earliest plant ancestors made the decisions to come onto land, basically. Now, what was the impetus that for them to do that? They were happy in their little ocean environment, but they, they're at some point, there was a decision to move onto land. So there's still, there's some things that are still speculative, but if you look back through, indigenous cultures and how they learn how to work with the plants, and the thing is, I teach medicinal herbalism, and it's one of the questions that comes up all the time. Students are always, they at some point the bulb light, the it'll go off, and somebody says, what were they doing? How did they know what all these plants were good for? And, how did they, more specifically, how did they know how to not poison themselves?
Right.
Because there are some poisonous plants out there that are deadly poisonous, and some of them look like plants that we use for medicine. So, there were certain individuals within each culture that were able to, work in non-ordinary, what we would call non-ordinary reality, and to tap into that consciousness and to discover how to work with these specific plants. And for instance, if you look at some of the indigenous and native cultures, they have certain ways that they approach certain plants. And then, there always seems to be a scientific reason that will be proven down the road, about why that is. So it's interesting. Yeah, it's really a whole study unto itself.
Yeah. And I think too, it's a whole way of looking at life. You know, these plant people who say, I'm gonna find out as much as I can find out. And I love the thought of when you say that plants, like how they know to look for water. They know to put their roots down and they're always searching for water. It's like these little buggers don't give up. You know what I mean? There's something
they don't.
In
yeah,
them.
They really don't. That's, well, think about the plants growing up through the sidewalk, right? And you know, I've always marveled because I spend a lot of time in the woods and I hike and that sort of thing. And, you know, you always see the trees that are growing, you know, on this little tiny little patch of earth. And, you know, their roots are going over rocks and all sorts of things, you know. So, you know, and even in for people that aren't familiar maybe with shamanism and some of the indigenous practices, everyone always knows that person who talks to their plants and their plants grow like, you know, insanely. And they just have these like ridiculous relationships with plants. They can grow anything, you know, that sort of thing. So you can see examples of it all over the place. And that's the thing I love about it too, is you can look through all, and this is one of the things I always tell my students, you can look through all these different cultures and you can see similarities. We may call them different things, but you can see this same connecting thread through everything.
We're talking to Corinne Gordonier, who was also the Green Girl of Green Girl Herbs. Is that what you call your business, Green Girl Herbs?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
But aren't we all plants growing up through the sidewalk, right? Isn't every human life a plant growing up through a sidewalk of some kind, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And if we're lucky, there's something in us that says, keep stretching for the sun, keep putting down your roots. Just last weekend, I went to New York to see Idina Menzel in Redwoods. It's a musical, and I insist that you try to see it because it takes place mostly in a redwood tree, and they're hundreds of feet high and hundreds of years old, right? And what you learn in the musical Redwoods is that the roots of the redwood tree, you would think, go down for miles. They don't. They're very, very shallow. They're only like 5 feet deep. But what they do is stretch out and grab on to everything around it. And that's what holds a redwood up. And I'm like, Shazam, isn't that our life as well, right?
Absolutely.
When we stretch our roots out and we wrap around the things that we love and the things that are good for us, we stand taller. So I love the work you do. I'm such a fan. I'm so grateful we finally got to talk. And I'm grateful that we can send people to you and they can learn more about this. Didn't you teach at Botanical Gardens?
I do. I still teach there. As a matter of fact, I'm teaching Herbalism Beyond the Basics, which I've been posting periodically about that class because I'm having way too much fun with it. The students are fantastic. I've been teaching that. I mean, I've been teaching at the Botanical Garden, I think for maybe 11 or 12 years or something like that. And I have that particular course that I teach once a year and that runs for 8 weeks. And it's kind of a, you know, it is beyond the basics. We learn a lot in 8 weeks. So I'm just cramming these students full of all kinds of as much information as they will take in. I will give them.
And do you teach it there or do you do it online?
So I originally started teaching there, and I taught in the Bronx and also in Midtown. Ever since probably, I guess, the last 5 years or so, I've been teaching online. I still teach there occasionally, but this particular class is online, which is great because we've had students really all over the country take that course. So we've had students from the West Coast and, you know, up through all up and down the Eastern Seaboard and everything in between. It's a great class. It's, you know, it's basically focused more so on the medicinal aspects of the plants and you know, how to make remedies and how to work with the plants and all of that sort of thing. So,
Corinne, do you talk to plants?
I absolutely do.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Don't tell me. Could you give us like a simple herbal remedy that, you know, we should know, but we don't?
Oh, my God. How much time do you have? Okay, I'll try to think of something more appropriate for this season. Well, you know, we're in cold and flu season right now. And I'll give you a couple simple ones. So one of the things, you know, that when I used to travel more, I never traveled without, is a simple ginger root, which actually is a rhizome. When you go to the store and because I've actually studied botany and got my botany degree through Botanical Garden, It's actually the underground stem, but nobody says ginger rhizome because people will look at you like you're crazy. But get yourself a ginger root and you can take that and you can just do it. You know, you can grate up like a tablespoon of grated ginger root and you can just make a really simple tea with that. Just you can either infuse it, which is just basically pouring hot water over it, covered, letting it steep for like 15, 20 minutes. Or if you want a stronger, more spicier tea, you can actually simmer it covered for about 10, 15 minutes or so. Strain off the ginger and you could add a little honey if you like. And that's excellent. You could take that every day if you wanted. You could take it at the first sign of pretty much anything, like cold, flu, you get a little chill, you've got a gastrointestinal, like your tummy's not feeling good. Like so many things. It's one of the things that's, you know, I would say ginger's like another one of our, what I call Swiss Army knives of herbalism, because you can, it just does so many things and you can use it in so many different ways. So that's one that I would say, I think another one I would say is, you know, elderberries and elderberry syrup. They're fantastic, you know, and you can make simple teas out of those. And
where do I find elderberries? I don't even know what they are.
Well, you mean you can find, so the ginger roots, that's the first one I mentioned because it's, you can go to the grocery store and get that. Grocery store, health food store, et cetera, et cetera. If you're looking for like the raw herbs, I mean, you know, we don't really have too many shops really in the area, but you can do a lot with online. I tend to steer people away from Amazon just because you never really know what you're going to get. So it's always better to go to like a quality, you know, herbal supplier. So there's a few, like there's Jeans Greens, which I think most people, I mean, my students know about Jeans Greens, but I don't know if most people do. They're in New York. She basically sources herbs, but she's sourcing them from all over the place. And there's places like Star West, which I think a lot of people know about, you know, and so on. So, and then if you're looking for herbal remedies, I do have, you know, my own, which is Green Girl Herbs. It's greengirlherbs.net, where I've got elderberry syrup and I have some teas with ginger and stuff like that. So
cool. I'm coming over to that site, greengirlherbs.net. Let me tell you why. I've always wanted to be you. You know what?
Oh my God, God bless you.
Even the idea of making ginger tea, I feel like a fraud. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm so intimidated by slicing up my ginger root. Can't I just like take a bite of it?
You can do that too. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, I could talk to you about ginger for probably hours because there's, like I said, there's so many things. That's one of the things you can do too. You can peel it. Like, it's one of the best things. Like, if you start to feel like even just a little bit of nasal congestion and you eat a piece of ginger root.
Wow.
It's gonna shift things. I mean, you may start, your eyes might start to water a little bit, but it's gonna shift. You know, so that's one of my favorites. There's so many of our medicines too that, you know, our herbal remedies, our early medicines that are kitchen remedies. Mm-hmm. But they're, and it doesn't, that's the thing I think that people don't always realize right away is that we don't have to take these exotic herbs. We don't have to be working with herbs that are, it's super, super strong. Many of our, you know, kitchen remedies are ones that are, they're incredibly powerful. And that's why all of our, you know, ancestors used them because they were. Yeah. I mean, something like horseradish root. There's another one. You can go, you know, for people that are, you know, obviously Hudson Valley, you know, Adams and all of the local places, you can go there and buy a horseradish root. And same thing, peel the horseradish root up, grate it, you know, just grate it up a little bit, put it in some white vinegar, or even just take it on a teaspoon or on a cracker, a piece of bread or something like that. And it's going to smart. You're going to, but like it's another one, it's excellent for sinus congestion. It's going to increase your circulation. I mean, it does all these great things. And this is what I love because I love working with people like exactly like you that want to be doing herbal remedies, but are feel a little uncertain because, you know, because then I get to show people, look, here's what you do. And it's not, you know, and you can do this. So
can I eat the dandelions grown in my yard?
Do you spray your yard?
No.
Okay, good. That's wonderful. And how close are you? Like, you're not living around any place like really busy?
No.
Okay, perfect. So dandelions, one of my favorites. Okay. You can eat pretty much all parts of the plant. So the dandelion head, every spring, everybody knows I get freaky excited over dandelion fritters. So really, you can just check my page out because if you scroll or you search, you'll find a recipe for dandelion fritters. because I share it every year because it's one of my favorites. So you and the, oh my God, you can eat all of these things in so many different ways. You can take those dandelion heads and just eat one.
Like when you say dandelion heads, that's like before the fuzzy part comes out?
Before it goes to seed, exactly. Before the fuzzy part. Yeah, you don't really want to eat the fuzzy part because then that's not fun.
I could just eat that.
The flower, the yellow flower. And you can eat the whole
yellow
thing.
Yellow flower?
Yes, you can eat the flower. You can eat the green part, which is the, oh my God, just went out of my head. That's terrible.
All I know is the stamen and the pistol from science class. The stamen and the pistol. Which was it? You mean the green part being the stem?
Well, you wouldn't really eat this. You could eat the stem if you saute them. The stem more so has like a kind of like a latex to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's rubbing. So, yeah. So that actually we can use topically. Most people usually don't eat the stems, but the flower heads you can absolutely eat.
And what about the roots?
Oh, yes. Sorry. And the roots are ridiculously medicinal. I mean, like so many good things. They're good for your liver. They're detoxifying. They have some mild blood sugar balancing properties. I would say most of their effect is really felt on the kidneys. So they do have some, so the roots and the leaves both have some diuretic properties. It enhances digestion. I mean, like so many things. It's one of the herbs I teach about quite a lot too, because it's so accessible for everyone.
Right.
You know,
I dig up all the dandelions and I feed them to my chickens and they go wild.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's like party, you know, they love it. And I remember my Italian ancestors, that used to do something with the greens. They put it in the salad.
Well, you can still put them in the salad, right? You know, that's one of the things too. Most of our traditions, you know, and again, this is a cross-cultural thing. Most traditions that really understood natural healing would have some type of a bitter. So bitters are important either have a bitter salad, either before the meal or after the meal. And what it does is it helps, you know, the bitters actually stimulate digestion. So it stimulates secretions all along the digestive system, including the gallbladder to release bile, which also aids in the digestion of fats and that sort of thing. So the thing is, and digestion is so important because, you know, it's not just what we take in, but it's what, you know, we're actually able to digest and our body is able to work with. So that's why, you know, we work so much on digestion.
And isn't that life too? It's what we can take in and what we can digest. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And then there's the stuff that gets stuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy.
Well, and that's the other thing about, you know, that's the thing about herbs too. Herbs do things. Oftentimes my students want to try to make the comparison between like herbs and pharmaceuticals, and you really can't because they work very, very differently and they do things that pharmaceuticals can't do. So herbs can actually improve your digestive function so that you're getting more nutrients from your food. They can help you to, you know, for things to not get stuck.
Yeah.
You know, that's so important. We don't want stagnation anywhere in the body. You know, we want things to, you know, move along at the correct pace. And the other thing too about the plants is that, you know, oftentimes, especially the wild plants, they're going to be very high in, you know, bioavailable nutrients. These are things that are, you know, and our bodies are also, you know, as humans evolved, you know, eating these plants and working with these plants. So these are things that our bodies are familiar with. Now the body goes, oh, okay, that's a dandelion leaf, you know, there's or a dandelion root or what have you. It's like there's potassium and calcium and iron and, you know, and all of these things. And the body knows what to do with that. So much of our food supply is made up of these sort of frankenfoods. And the body's like, what is this? I don't even know what this is. What do I even do with this? So the more that we can bring those things into our life, you know, like the healthier we're going to be.
Yeah. I feel that way. Like when I stretch, I feel like, oh, my body loves to stretch. And so when I eat vegetables, I feel like my body loves vegetables. I feel like there's like some sort of recognition, like this is what you're supposed to be doing. All right. So yeah. When it comes to tea, I'm going to try that ginger tea. I think I could do that, but
you can do it.
I'm the girl that loves like cinnamon spice tea. That's me. I can drink cinnamon spice tea all year round. I usually drink Harney. You know, it's just tasty and warm, and I like the ritual of making a cup of tea.
Uh-huh.
And a few years back, I started to see these synthetic tea bags, and oh, aren't they pretty? And can't you smell the beautiful tea when you put this pretty little tea bag up to your nose? And I thought to myself, this cannot be good.
Yes.
Then I saw a post from Corinne Gournier, Bringing Girl Herbs, that said, those silky satchels are bad. Tell me the story.
Yeah. So here's the challenge. When there's a few challenges with tea bags. So I'm always kind of ragging on tea bags because also you have all these amazing accoutrements that you can use. So we really don't need tea bags. But one of the problems is the materials that they're made with is that oftentimes these are actually plastic. There's like, you know, they're basically plastic fibers. And the article that I posted, and I think actually National Geographic recently ran a story on it as well. It's like a ridiculous amount of plastic particles that we're ingesting when we're using those tea bags. And so that's definitely a problem. It's a problem because many of these particles are going to be in hormone disruptors. Some of them may potentially be, carcinogenic. And then, of course, you know, the waste product of throwing them away, there is no away. You know, whenever we dispose of something, it's going someplace and it's going in the environment and it's going into the waterways and it's, you know, it's getting in everywhere. So we're just really kind of perpetuating that issue. So if you must use tea bags, I would encourage people to get some type of a reusable tea ball.
Mm-hmm.
Or to buy loose, you know, cut, you know, basically loose teas. And it's how we used to drink tea, you know, going way back. That's for, you know, hundreds of years, that's how people drank tea. And what happens also with a tea bag is when you cut the herbs up very, very small, if you remember this from kind of science class, you know, you've got greater, the smaller that we cut something up, the greater the surface area, but it's also the greater the deterioration as well. And so those tiny little particles, they're not really, you know, a tea doesn't actually go bad on the shelf. So you can have a tea sitting there for 5 years and technically it's still good. It's not bad. It's not like milk that's going to go bad. So, but it loses efficacy. So especially if you're doing something for medicinal reasons, it's not going to have the same effect. But also you're going to get better flavor tea just by, you know, using loose teas. You have to get used to those teas that don't have the flavorings, you know, the unnatural flavorings. Unnatural flavorings can be an issue as well. They can also be hormone disruptors and so on, just depending upon exactly what's being used. But we can, you know, you can add ginger you can add cinnamon to your ginger tea. You know, you can use your own blends, which is what I teach. And then also the thing that I love about, you know, natural teas without the flavorings and everything and without sweeteners and all that is, you know, you can add whatever type of sweetener you want. You know, you can add honey, you can add date sugar, you know, or if you want to add, you know, regular sugar, you can do that, you know, but there's a whole host of like, and I don't use the sugar either. There's a whole host of, you know, also herbal syrups that you can create. I mean, there's so many things that you can do. I know a lot of people like kind of sweet teas. I mean, I drink my teas. I don't use sweetener in anything. Yeah.
What kind of tea do you drink?
Everything. Well, I drink my tea. I do love my chai tea. That's one of my favorites because it's actually real chai.
And you make it?
I do. Yeah. It's on the website. It's called Storm in a Teacup Chai. And it's a caffeine-free version with rooibos and star anise. So it's got, and like, just really cool stuff in it. So it's kind of a little bit of a departure from traditional chai. But it's also another, you know, remedy for this time of year that is very warming. It's, you know, a lot of those herbs and spices have like, you know, antimicrobial benefits and, you know, immune boosting benefits and things like that. But like today, for instance, I'm actually drinking lemon balm and ginger, which is one of my, I just make up combinations on the fly kind of every day.
That's so great. That's so great. I really want to be you. You can never get a cup of tea large enough or a book long enough to suit me, said C.S. Lewis. And that's our thought for the day. And Corinne Gournier, you have been so kind and so generous. And thank you for allowing me to stalk you and hunt you down and make you come on Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show. Tell people how they can get more of you.
So in order to reach me, you can find me at greengirlherbs.net. And you can also find me on Facebook where I post something every day. I always try to post post something positive, you know, and Mondays I usually post something a little more informative about an herb. I really like to share, you know, just about the plants and you know, hopefully make some more herbalists and herbal plant converter, you know, convert people to working with the healing plants. So
perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Casey.